pray together. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this time of worship and just having a joy with you in our hearts, Lord. And again, thank you for Pastor Lito being able to come and share with us here in the beginning of the service tonight some things from your word and things from his heart, Lord. So, Father, we pray and bless him as he comes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Lito, you want to come on up? And I want to introduce you a little bit. This is Pastor Lito. From Calvary Chapel, Manila in the Philippines. This is his first time in the United States. And we're so blessed to have him because we've been praying for him for years. He's part of our mission giving. And also every Thursday night when the men's prayer meeting meets, we've been praying for Pastor Lito and the fellowship in Manila. And I feel like I knew him already. You know, when I met him, it was so great to be able to see his face because we've been, fellowshipping in the spirit through prayer for so many years. And so we're just so blessed to have him come and share tonight with us. So welcome, Pastor. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Magandang gabi. Good evening. That's a Tagalog word. Well, it's rude. It's my first time here to be in the States. First time to fly over the Pacific Ocean. First time to see squirrels up in Big Bear. First time to see deers. Many things are first time. And it's also my first time to see you guys who've been praying for us through the years, supporting the church with your prayers, encouragement. I said to Pastor Mike, former, he's the one taking care of me in Big Bear. I said I wanted to see Pastor Mike, Mark, at CC Anaheim, because they've been praying and, you know, encouraging us, supporting us. And it's just neat to see, you know, to see you all here and to see Pastor Mark and what the Lord is doing here, to hear from you. So I'm Pastor Lito from CC Manila. My connection is with Pastor Roger because Pastor Roger knew Pastor Mark. And even when Pastor Roger left 11 years ago, by the grace of God, you know, when I pastored the church, your church, this church has been a tremendous blessing for us, including Big Bear. So tonight, I'd like to encourage you by the grace of God. And in behalf of CC Manila, we would like to thank you for all your love and concern for us, including Pastor Allen, that you also support in Tarlac. He came from our church. He was our former secretary. Now he's pastoring a church. He has 5 kids. He has a new baby. So he extends his love and encouragement and blessings to all of you. Okay? So tonight, let's open our Bibles in the book of Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40. And let's start with a word of prayer. Loving Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in bringing me here at CC Anaheim and to see my brothers, my sisters. Thank you, Lord, for we do have such a great and big family. Oh God, I pray that you would continue, Lord, to bless them. And Lord, may you continue, Lord, to reward them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and goodness to us. May you speak now, Lord, through your word, and may your word fall in the good soil of our hearts. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. Psalm chapter 40, for the director of music, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me, and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to the false god. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. No one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare. Now, the whole psalm really speaks so much about our relationship with the Lord and how David expresses himself regarding his relationship with the Lord, the many struggles that he've gone through. And most of the Psalms were written, and it is born out of an experience like what David experienced. And what he experienced is so, you know, was really so hard. And as if you could sense that he was really patiently hearing from the Lord, pouring out his heart, and asking God to lift him out of that miry clay. Tonight, perhaps some of us are discouraged. Are you discouraged? Well, all of us know that from time to time, we experience discouragement. And discouragement is no respecter of person. All of us, men and women, young and old, experience this. But David was here in this miry clay, experiencing being discouraged. And I will open that scripture in 2 Samuel later on, but let me tell you, the enemy wants us to be in that pit of despair. Why? So that we will be pitiful, feel pitiful, act pitiful, and drag others in that same place, in that hole of discouragement. The word of the Lord is, if you accept it, if you are in this place of discouragement, know that the Lord wants to lift you up and put you on that solid rock of our faith mentioned in verse of chapter 40. And that rock is Christ. So, David, being lifted literally from that pit of despair, from that loose ground of discouragement. So tonight the choice is ours, but the power is of the Lord. I'd like you to turn your Bibles into 2 Samuel chapter 12. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, the verse before chapter 12, we found out that God was so displeased with David. And you see, the story, you know, I could not read it to you, but the story is about this man. During the time when kings go to war, he tried to rest in his kingdom. He was on top of his palace, whereas he should be fighting, and he fall into that sin of lust, the sin of cover-up, the sin of immorality, which eventually led to the sin of killing a person, Uriah the Hittite. And again, yeah, some people say, Lito, you're here in the America, you're here for a vacation. Well, yes, it is true, but also it is not true because there is no such thing as spiritual vacation. Yeah, physically, yes, I'm enjoying. I'm just so amazed. I stand in awe of how great our God is in creating this land. So many beautiful places and so many squirrels that I see. Lord, thank you for the squirrel. First time I saw squirrel. And of course, dead squirrels in the highways. But really, so in the story, you know, we found out that David, as he fell into this sin of, you know, one thing led to another. Then one day his friend came to him, his friend Nathan, and said, oh, there is a man, that poor man, you know, whose neighbor was very rich, has many lambs. But when a friend of that neighbor came, oh, what he took is not his own lambs, but he cooked the ewe lamb of this poor guy. And David was so angry, so, you know, he was so mad. He said that that person must pay four times. That person must die. You're the man, Nathan said. And he started crying, repenting of his sin as he was exposed. You know, it's good to have friends like that. Friends who would say not only your good side, but even the things that they don't like, the things that you are doing wrong. Because eventually David had a son, and he named him Nathan. And here in our story, let me read to you somewhere in verse 16, in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and he went into his house and spent the nights lying on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused. and he would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, we spoke to David, but he would not listen to us. How can we tell him the child is dead? He may do some drastic or desperate or something desperate. David noticed that his servants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied. He is dead. Then David got up from the ground, and after he had washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went into his own house, and at his request, they served him food, and he ate. Why such complete turnaround? Did you see that? David, only that day, when he found out that his son is dead, he rose up immediately. He sprang up. He washed his face. He put on lotion or anointed himself with oil. And David changed his clothes and started heading towards the temple of God, worshiping the Lord. Why such turnaround? Why such total, complete transformation? What happened? And these things that we've learned, these things that I've learned also, it just encourages my heart that the Lord teaches us too. We see here some key issues, especially in my life, when I am so discouraged, in that place of despair. The first thing that David did, we have to keep in mind that when we are also in that place of discouragement and despair, first of all, we need to do things right. Imagine David, so famished, just lost a son. He stood up and he worshiped the Lord. You know, when I'm in the pit of discouragement, I don't feel like worshiping the Lord. I don't feel like smiling to people. I don't feel like ministering. I don't feel like worshiping. It's just like, you know, I'm just like the guy, the minister. You know, his wife is trying to, you know, wake him up early morning. He said, "Sweetheart, you wake up." "I don't want to wake up. Give me two reasons why should I wake up." "Well, first, this is Sunday. It's Sunday today." "Well, yes. What's the second?" "You're the pastor of the church. You have to be at church. You're going to teach." And sometimes we have those discouragements. We don't feel like blessing people. But the Bible states in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, that we are to clothe ourselves with Christ, to put on the new man, to put on Jesus, meaning that should be my mode of behavior when I am discouraged, meaning that I do not need to be governed by my feelings. You know, many people make bad decisions because they flow with their feelings. Feelings are good. There's nothing wrong with it. But we should not live by emotions alone. We have to put the new man. Otherwise, we'll fall into sin. Remember Moses leading millions of people, heading towards the promised land? But during those times, he was so discouraged. And what did he do? Because people started complaining, arguing, murmuring. You know what he did? He struck the rock because they were so thirsty. And he struck it so hard twice. And he was disqualified to enter the promised land because of so much anger and emotion. Why? Because that rock symbolizes Christ. The Bible states that Jesus was crucified, died for our sins once and for all. He was struck once, not twice. And remember the story. That's why that should keep me from what keeps me from God's blessing is to be dictated by bad feelings or by my ugly feelings. Remember in Leviticus chapter 10, when the Lord started, you know, raising up this Aaron and his family, his children, they started worshiping, being priests in the temple, doing that priestly ministry. What happened to his two kids? Nadab and Abihu. they were bad people. They were doing an authorized fire. And fire from the temple consumed them from their office. They were fried. Or they were literally fired from office. But on that day, Moses, God spoke to Moses, "I want you to tell your brother Aaron, do not weep, do not cry. Serve me in the temple." And that's what Moses told Aaron. At the end of the day, Moses came and saw that there's a burnt offering, burnt sin offering. And he approached them and said, "Why is it that you did not eat this offering that is intended for you?" And Aaron said, "You know, my sons died today." And that satisfied Moses. And it speaks of grace. The Lord understands. I'm not here preaching that we should not mourn. I'm not saying that. Remember, in Revelation, the Great Tribulation from chapter 6 of Revelation 6 till 19, before Jesus comes, second coming, at the end of the first verse of chapter 19, it is said there, after hailstones are falling, Lord is judging nations, cities being burned, what happens? "These 24 elders spoke aloud and saying, 'Righteous and true are your ways, O Lord.'" Ezekiel chapter 24, the Lord spoke to his prophet, "Son of man, this is what will happen. I'm going to take away the delight of your eyes, the desire of your heart. I'm going to take away your wife today. I'm going to make a powerful illustration amongst the Israelites who have set their eyes, delighted their eyes on the temple, on the material things. They have forsaken me," as if the Lord is saying. And the Lord took away his bride. It's not easy to lose someone you love. Don't weep for her, the delight of your eyes. You may ask, "Lito, what are you saying? What kind of God is he? Are you saying do not moan? Do not mourn?" You see, brothers and sisters, it is always easy when you get into hardships, sicknesses, afflictions, sufferings, tragedies, to get sympathy from people. But always we do it at the expense of God's reputation. When you go through sicknesses, bankruptcy, tragedy, people will come to you and comfort you, encourage you, and that is good. We should appreciate those people. We should thank them for their kindness to us in our times of sufferings and griefs. But you must not continue to keep on talking and mourning endlessly about your setbacks, your hardships, or your tragedy. Because if you do that unknowingly, you're saying that God is mean, that God is cruel, that God is unfair. Brethren, all of us have an anointing. You have an anointing to know the greatness, the power, the glory, and the love of God. And this needs to be heard. This needs to be received. Because all of God's ways, all of God's timings, his decisions are always perfect. He let his son die for us. It's no accident that Jesus died for us. So David did what was right. Secondly, what do we see here? When David got up from the ground in verse 20, he washed his face. He washed his face. Meaning that when I am in that place of discouragement, I needed to be in the Word of God. The water symbolizes the water of the Word. In John chapter 15, "You are already clean with the words I've spoken to you." In Ephesians chapter 5, Jesus speaking to his bride. And husbands, the way we should be treating our wives, loving them sacrificially and washing them with the water of the word. Belated, happy Father's Day. And as fathers, we needed to be washing ourselves with the word of God, our wives, our children. They need to see us serving the Lord. They needed to see us reading the scripture to them. And that's what David did. He got into the Word of God. Let us not neglect the Word of God, particularly in times that we don't feel like it. In many times, I do not understand God's Word, but you know what? God has His way of using the words that we do not know at the moment, and when that time comes, He will remind you, and He will help you. You know what the Word says in Psalm 107, verse 20? He sent forth His Word, and He healed them. I was telling Pastor Mark a while ago that 3 years, I received a word from the Lord in CC Manila. Our church is just a small church. Lord spoke to me in John chapter 4 that the harvest, you know, the field is ready for the taking. He said as He passed through Samaria, you know, those neglected people, Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They hate the Samaritans. But Jesus was there. He was saying the field is ripe for harvest. Do not say 4 months more. And you know, I load up people in the church 3 years ago in a jeepney. A jeepney, during World War II, the Americans are there, okay, fighting against the Japanese. You have this small jeep. But what we did for our transportation, we extended the chassis. So we could load up, you know, for transportation, 20 people inside. For Filipinos, 30. Okay, sardines. So I load up, we went to the park and started sharing the gospel, trembling in fear, we're shaking, 2 on 2, and we started reaching out week after week until I started a Bible study by the grace of God underneath a tree. So that's Sunday afternoon. So then we started drawing people. You know, people who are homeless, who only has backpacks and plastic, you know, trash. They pick up papers, cardboards, plastic bottles, and they sell it for 13 pesos per kilo. That's what they used to eat for just to get by. And they started coming to church. And one of them, the couple whose names are Jim, he's 45, and Luz is 35. You know, they just told me before I left, because I did a counseling to them. One night after teaching the Bible study, Wednesday night, I was sharing about holiness and how men and women should honor the marriage bed and keep it undefiled. After service, they came and said, Pastor Lito, the Lord spoke to our hearts. We repented of our sins. We've asked Him to come into our lives, and now we want to straighten out things. We have been together for 6 years. No marriages, no weddings. Can you help us? All because of the transforming power of God. They told me also, hey, Pastor Lito, we just come to CC Manila because there's free bath and free coffee. That's our reason why we get here. But we heard the Word. We heard Jesus speaking. The power of the Word of God. I'm nothing. I just teach what the Word says. And it's the power of the Word that changes our hearts, my heart, and the lives of people who hear it. So let us continue to meditate on the Word of God. Do you have morning devotions? Do we get into the Word? Do we wash ourselves with the Word of God every day? We need it more than ever. More than ever. We need to hear Jesus speaking to our hearts. And that's what we call rightly dividing the Word of God. Jim and Luz, when I get back in Manila come July 15, we will be having our first wedding for homeless couple. They just live in a pushcart, 3 feet by 6 feet or 5 feet. That's where they live. They just push their cart around the place. And these guys, when they come to church, they walk an hour and a half or two just to be there at Calvary Chapel, Manila. They live close to the U.S. Embassy, to the huge park in Luneta. Well, I'm speaking about place you don't know. But, yeah, they walk. And it's such a great thing to know that the Lord changes our hearts because of His Word. Paul says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. that the Word of God will be at home. Is the Word of God at home in us? Do we welcome Him? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The living Word of God is Jesus. He is relatable. He knows how you feel. He knows the grief that you're going through. He is a man of grief, familiar with sorrow. He can best identify with you and best help you in your situation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture are God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man and the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped with every kind of good work. Let us not neglect His Word. Thirdly, we see here that David, when he got up from the ground, he washed his face. We see him also here. He did not wait for others. You know, he anointed himself with oil. He took the oil, the perfume, and started anointing himself. Remember his story in 1 Samuel, I think, in chapter 20, when they raided another enemy and their families were left at Ziklag, and an enemy took away all their wives, their children, the plunder. And you know, when they came back, all these men who are discontented, indebted, who are with David, you know, his fellow men, raiders, they were so mad at David to the point that they wanted to stone him. According to that verse, David found strength in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. God gave him a message, come on, pursue them. You know what? They were able to get back all their belongings, their loved ones, their children, their wives, because David encouraged himself in the Lord. So here, the oil symbolizing and representing the joy that we have in the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 verse 18 says that do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Be not filled with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what? The word be filled is not a suggestion. It is a command for every Christian to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, I will be filled with my flesh, filled with myself, and destroy my family, my loved ones, my brothers and sisters. The idea that you have a clear jar and you put pebbles in it to the brim, it's filled. And also you try to put sand, it's filled to the brim. And you put water, every space and molecules there, the water covers it. That's the idea. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and He heard my cry. Remember Noah in Genesis chapter 8? He started reaching up. He threw raven did not return. But he started throwing one dove, and the dove returned, and you know what he did? From the ark, on top of the ark, he reached out. The dove symbolizes the Holy Spirit. He took it and brought it inside. Remember Jesus in Luke chapter 11? If you then, though evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit? But again, it is a choice that I need to make. That each day should be a day that I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I know me, I know my flesh. Within me, there is no good thing that dwelleth. David, after springing up, washing his face, putting lotions, we see David here, you know, such turnaround. We see David here, he learned how to let go, let God. You know, sometimes it's really hard to let go of our rugs. We put on new clothes. The new clothes symbolizing new hope, symbolizing new heart, symbolizing new attitude. You've read it from Genesis to Revelation, I'm sure. This is a very important principle that we have read many times. that in order for us to get, we must let go. In order for us to be filled, we must be emptied. The same idea is given to us here. Oh, Lito, Pastor Lito, you do not know how much I've gone through, how much that person hurt me. But the Lord says, do not dwell on the past. Let us not dwell on the past. Let's learn to let go and let God. Let us learn to trust the Lord. Let us trust the Lord, trust and obey. For there is no other way than to trust and obey. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3 says that God is able to change our mourning ashes, our heaviness, and give us garments of praise. Paul reverberates it in the New Testament when he says, forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward to what is ahead, a heavenward call in Christ Jesus. My daughter would always say to me, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. We could not go back. We cannot live in our past. We live today. God wants you to have a fresh start. Whatever pain, discouragement we've been through, God wants us to let go and let God. Remember Joseph? He was sold by his brothers, all because they were so envious that he get the best, you know, garment, the best clothes that his father Jacob did give him. And this clothes is filled with laptop and cell phones and every gadget. They were so envious. Now, to cut the long story short, God elevated him in such position, second to Pharaoh. To sum it up, God gave him two sons in the person of Manasseh, which means, Manasseh means, the Lord made me forget all my sorrows and sufferings. Second son, Ephraim, the Lord has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my suffering. If you're suffering today, the Lord wants you to be fruitful. He is there in the midst. He is there in the fire of your affliction. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who they were four, not just three. Jesus is present in the place of the hurting. He seeks you out. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. But let us not dwell on the past. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert, a stream in the wasteland. The Lord is saying, hey, let's check it out. The Lord is doing a new thing, a fresh thing. Let's not miss out on that. Let's learn to let go and let God have His way in our situations, ministries, relationships, vocations, everywhere He wants to be involved. Because he loves you that much. Lastly, David came outside his house and went to worship the Lord. That's the most important thing. David blessed the Lord. He waited on the Lord. He served the Lord. You know, the church, every church needs servants. You know, every church has problems with few people serving the Lord. You know what? I was always telling the church, also in Manila, kept on reminding them. I'm not forcing anyone, but I always extend, you know, that every church needs a helping hand. I read it from the Voice of the Martyr. There's a quotation there. It says, doing the work of God is dangerous. Not doing it is more dangerous. But David waited on the Lord. He served the Lord. And he blessed the Lord in the temple. You know, worship is very important. I know it's not just singing. It is a lifestyle. Worship is key to counter depression and discouragement. It's taking away, shifting away your focus from yourself and turning it towards God. Remember when they, you know, cut the head of John the Baptist? What did his disciples did? In Matthew chapter 14, you know what? The first thing they did, they went to Jesus and told him all about what took place. You know, sometimes I find myself in discouragement. I wanted other people to come to me and talk to me at the expense, sadly, of God's presence. But they talked about Jesus and started worshiping. David started to worship. Let us ascribe to him the glory to his name. It is easy to worship God when things are so easy and nice and okay. When it is so hard, when you are problematic, it is hard. But you know what? It is so meaningful when we ascribe to him the glory to his name. In closing, I'd like you to turn your Bibles in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, it says here in verse 28, and we know that in all things, that meaning inclusive, God works, meaning he is active, for the good, meaning it is beneficial, for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither the height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Jesus that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It speaks about this book, Romans chapter 8, is the mountain peak of the New Testament. It starts with no condemnation. God doesn't condemn anyone. Those who are in Christ Jesus, he will never condemn. But it ends up with no separation from his love. You may be discouraged tonight and you feel condemned because of your, just like me, my failings, my weaknesses. But God doesn't condemn you. He neither separates you from his love. He went far and away, and everywhere he searched for it. If there is something that can separate us from his love, there is none. Do you believe that Jesus loves you? If you believe that, he truly loves you, because he has loved us with an everlasting love. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for you are always in the place of the hurting. Lord, to those of us who experience discouragement, perhaps some of us, even tonight, are in the midst of severe afflictions or sicknesses or heartache, Lord. Oh God, keep us, Lord, keep our eyes focused on you, Jesus. For you said to those who trust in you, you will give us perfect peace. Thank you, Lord, for you do understand us and you're able to minister to us in such a way, Lord, that we would see you clearly. Oh God, may you cover this body of Christ. May you bless them, Father, for how you've used them, Lord, to bless CC Manila. And thank you, Lord, once again for Pastor Mark and the congregation of CC Anaheim. May you have your way in their lives, Lord. Continue, Lord, to use them so powerfully, Lord, in this place that you've, Lord, given them, Lord, to be the salt and the light of the earth. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, for being so personal to us, Lord, for loving us, Lord, just as we are. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.
be in touch with you there, bro, and to know that you're over there ministering and blessing. And he's really looking forward to seeing his little girl. He was sharing with me earlier, Pastor Lito, that was sharing that your six-year-old gets up every morning and says, "Is Daddy home yet?" Yeah. And his wife says, "You know, well, pretty soon." And she goes, "Well, how many Sunday schools until he's home?" You know how kids are. So actually, she's had her last Sunday school before he's home, because he's going home tomorrow, you know, and he'll be there Friday night. So it's a blessing. So we really appreciate you, bro, taking the time to come here and just touch base with us. You know, I can't tell you what it means to me, you know, to just see you in person, you know. So what a blessing.